Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today will draw on all three of the readings that you heard before as we take a look together at what they say about our life together as God's people. In the year 2000, author Robert Putnam published a book called Bowling Alone. The title was a reference to the decline of the bowling league in American culture. What had once been thought of by some as the blue-collar country club was vanishing. But this, of course, was only a case study highlighting a darker trend. In Bowling Alone, Putnam sounded the alarm that since the 1960s and 70s, Americans have been withdrawing from their communities in a number of measurable ways. Attendance at public meetings plunged by nearly half between 1973 and 1994. The family dinner stopped being the anchor of the home during that same time period. Trust in strangers took a sharp drop. And in the 1990s, as social connections withered, people watched friends on TV rather than actually spending time with friends. As of 2004, nearly half of those polled in the United States reported being one confidant away, one person away from social isolation. And this was obviously 16 years before the pandemic and the rise of social distancing as a recommendation. It's no secret that the church, and here I'm talking about the Holy Christian Apostolic Church we confess in our creeds, the church is not exempt from the decline described in Bowling Alone. Social science is not my discipline, but theology kind of is. And the study of God's Word offers quite a few reasons why people might withdraw from a faith community. And clearly, some have. I would submit that there are spiritual reasons for this that run very deep. But although there are spiritual and social forces at work to isolate us from each other, I still believe that the church, the local congregation of believers, is uniquely equipped to address our human need for togetherness. In the era of bowling alone, the church, by its very nature, has an approach to life together that nothing else does. In an increasingly fractured, compartmentalized, distanced society, I believe that local congregations offer hope for creating communities that are not just civil, but caring. And not just caring, but loving. And today, I want to show you why I think that. And I'll do that by conducting a flyover of each of the three readings you heard as part of today's service. And by doing so, what will emerge is this. Gathering in a local congregation addresses three great needs that we all have. And of course, I'm sure we could think of a lot more than three, but distilling each Bible passage down to its essence, we will see that life together with other believers addresses our need to meet with God, our need to give and receive care in community, and our need to serve with humility. First, our need to meet with God. The Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 11 is filled with complaining. And I don't want to make light of it. The people were hungry. They were tired of manna. Moses was tired of hearing it. He was tired of bearing the burden of leadership. It was all too much. And did you notice in the reading, Moses essentially says, "Lord, if you love me, kill me." So what does the Lord God do instead? He tells Moses, "I want to meet with you. Bring 70 elders with you to the tent of meeting." Moses does. God comes down as promised. God grants them all a special measure of His Spirit. It's a simple idea, but don't miss it. God demonstrates His care by meeting with His people. And He gave them something much greater than that for which they were asking. You and I have the same deep-seated need to meet with God. We long for transcendence, spiritual experience, and that is precisely what God has provided in what we are doing right now, a service of worship. It is the beating heart of everything else that the church does and is. Because in worship, God comes to meet with us, speaking to you in words of Scripture, serving you with the heavenly food of Jesus' body and blood. Now, like the people in Numbers, we come with complaints. Complaints about what we don't have. Complaints about the burdens we bear. Lamenting about good old days now past. And into all of this, God just says, "Meet with me. Come together. Gather around, meet with me. And when you're together around my gifts, I'll tell you again, your sin problem is a lot worse than you care to admit. But my love for you is far greater than you ever dared to hope. Look to the cross of Jesus and see you are loved beyond your capacity to imagine." Why do we run from this? Why do we think other things are more worth our time? We need to meet with God. That happens here. Secondly, we need to give and receive care in community. The letter of James provides a pretty stirring description of this. It comes right at the end of the passage we looked at today. He writes about ministering to others in the community of faith with prayer, with singing, with ceremonies such as anointing, and with mutual confession leading to the forgiveness of sins. And the very last thing he writes about is looking to bring back those who have wandered away, who have wandered from the truth. Now, it's easy to view this as a checklist to review and then do. Let's go. Check each thing off. But wait, take a step back with me. Look at the bigger picture. James is showing you and me, this is what it looks like to love others. And these aren't just pretty sounding words. These are investments of time in others. This is the opposite of the bowling alone mentality. These are practical actions going back and forth between people that are right in front of you. The natural question is, why do them? Why do these things that James is talking about? And the answer is awesome. It's because God has met with us together. We have the same need to be forgiven and have received that same gift in Jesus. So, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. When you're down, I'll come pick you up. If I ever wander off the path, I give you permission to come get me. Deep down, we know we need relationships like this if we're going to grow. We yearn to know someone has our back to this degree. You can have that here. It's really true. And finally, we have a need to serve with humility. And our connection to Jesus will generate countless opportunities for us to do just that. And in today's gospel lesson, disciple John wants to know if it's okay for people besides the Big 12 to be out doing things in Jesus' name. It's obvious that John thought the right answer was no. I mean, he tried to stop those casting out demons in Jesus' name. And John and all the disciples were probably shocked again when Jesus said, actually, the right answer is, it is okay. If they're not against us, they're for us. And if someone gives you even something as small as a cup of cold water because you're with me, that's a beautiful thing. It's a pleasing offering. And although it's not in the text, you can almost hear John say, oh, sorry. Life with Jesus involves a lot of repentance and readjustment. That's true of the vertical relationship we have with Him and the horizontal relationship with those around us, especially those within the community and the family of faith. If we go the route of power plays and scorekeeping and what have you done for me lately, then what would make us different from any other group or club? But with Jesus at the center of our life together, there's going to be an abundance of repentance and readjustment to one another that we will want to do. There will be genuine I'm sorries and sincere I forgive yous. If not here, then where? This is the place to put faith into practice, to practice repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins. Is it too late to reverse a bowling alone culture? It's hard to say. But I hope you share this conviction with me that the church can be, should be, and in Christ Jesus is capable of moving people back into community. We need to meet with God. We need to give and receive care. We need to serve with humility. We need it. He provides it. Here it is. Let's pray. In what you give us, Lord, to do, together or alone, in old routines or ventures new, may we not cease to look to you, the cross you hung upon, all you endeavored, done. Amen.